And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Here it is. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw the baby, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can grab a seat. Well, if you are new with us during the season, maybe just a pit stop in the busyness of everything you've had going on, we're in a series that we've called War Cry. And it doesn't sound, on the face of it, it doesn't sound very Christmassy, right? To package a Christmas series under the banner of War Cry seems a little off-brand, if we're honest. But throughout this season, what we wanted to do was to change and challenge the way you view Christmas. To see Jesus as more than a decoration, more than just a decoration on a mantelpiece. He's a declaration of war against the enemy. And so when Christ, that silent night we sing about, that silent night we put up and we display as decoration pieces and we see in depictions on our screen, that silent night when Christ cried out, it was a battle cry for your soul. It's what we want you to see today. Now, most of you know I'm a history buff a little bit. I love to study history, and I love to use history as a tool for illustrating the Bible. Because all history is God's history, okay? And so when I think of battle cries in history, I cannot get out of my mind the ride of Paul Revere. If you know American history, you know this. It was April 18th, 1775, and around 11 o'clock at night, when Paul Revere got on the back of a horse and rode to announce some news. You see, what happened was the British soldiers stationed in Boston were about to advance and move into the countryside, advancing against their armies. And so they were going to come under the cloak of darkness, under night. And so Paul Revere, hearing this news, got on the back of a horse to go and announce that the British were coming. You know this, right? Well, upon his arrival, it said, if you study this, that those hearing the news in the camps were trying to hush his message. They were saying, "Stop making so much noise." And he's recorded saying this, "Noise, you're going to have enough noise very soon, because the British are coming." He couldn't help it, right? He had news that he had to share. There was an urgency to it. There was a zeal to it. He couldn't keep it quiet. He wouldn't keep it down. It was an urgency for the people to wake up and see the battle in front of them. Well, Luke's Christmas story here in the Gospel of Luke is very similar, actually. But it has a twist to it. You see, Paul Revere rode to announce bad news. Hey, the British are coming. War is imminent. But when the angels in the passage we read announced this news to the shepherds in the field, it was the greatest news ever heard. The greatest news ever heard. In this news, this morning, I want you to see, demands a response from us. We cannot act like we've never heard it. We can't suppress it. We won't quiet it. It is too good to keep to ourselves. And so it demands urgency from us to go and tell someone about it. So first off, I want to tell you why the news is so great. Why was this news received by the shepherds on that silent night so great? The greatest news ever told. Well, the passage starts off with the classic line. It's important for us. It says, in the same region, this is the region surrounding Bethlehem. If you just let your eyes drift up on your page, you'll see the whole birth narrative of Christ. And so where the birth went down, in Bethlehem, in that surrounding region, there were shepherds keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, most scholars, most theologians believe they were keeping watch over the sheep or the lambs that would be used in slaughter for sacrifice. And so that's why they were outside of the city, and that was the flocks that they were keeping. Well, it says, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, just to put a little bit of context on this, so we don't get lost in the story, you got to immerse yourself in the story of Christmas to really get it, to really feel it, okay? And I would just challenge you, when you read the Bible, that's a good practice, right? What's happening? Where is it happening? Who's it happening to? Ask some questions of the text when you read it. Well, the last time that the people of God had ever heard a word from God was 400 years prior when the prophet Malachi shared God's word. Well, in Scripture, this period between your Old Testament and your New Testament is called the intertestamental period of time, okay? Many people refer to it as the 400 years of silence. And during this time, listen to me, God was MIA, seemingly. Now, we know in silence, God's still moving. In your lives right now, some of you, it feels like God is silent. God's not answering your prayer. God's not delivering what you're looking for. He's still moving. He's still working. Even in silence, God is loud. And sometimes, listen to me, sometimes what God has wanted to do is to do a work in you, create a great dependency on you while he's not giving you what you want, while he's not speaking how you've heard him, while he's not moving as you're used to. God is still moving. And in this time, God was still moving. He was preparing these people. He was preparing these people, and he was delivering. He was actually answering prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And then it happened. There was a time when no messages were being preached, no online services were happening to watch. This time was a spiritually dry and could be depressing time in history. I want you to think about it this way. Can you imagine? We think 12 days of Christmas, like the run up, and even think about these last 3 days. Think about what your kids are feeling right now. Can you imagine like 400 years? Let me frame it like this. Imagine for 400 years waking up early on Christmas morning to find no lights on in your house. The tree's gone. No gifts under the tree. You look outside and there's nothing lit up. There's no decorations on. There's no carols being sung. There is no hint of festivity on your street. For 400 years, you get up on that big, you run out and it's empty. God promised Christmas was coming, but it hadn't. But this night was different. After 400 years of waiting, of yearning, of praying, out in the countryside, outside the city, where the light of the city failed to reach, there were shepherds out in this field. And on this particular night, the sky unravels as an angel of the Lord brings a message once again from heaven. Can you imagine the scene? Like this cold, I try to think about it, this cold and dark night. It felt like Columbus last night. Like it was so dark. There was no hint of festivity in the air. Out in the countryside, unsuspecting, and unlike any of the others that had been for 400 years. Yeah, I think they're not thinking about the Lord. They have no carols in their heads. They've got no hymns in their heart. They've got no scripture memorized. For 400 years, they had given up on the Lord. And then in a moment, bang! In an instant time, it says the glory of the Lord was shining in this field, listen, as it had in heaven for eternity. The beauty of heaven now out in a field. It reminds me of a lyric from the song. We sing this song, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful." There's a line in the second verse that's taken from a 1,700-year-old, from 325 A.D., Christian statement of faith called the Nicene Creed. Many of you grew up memorizing this. And in this creed, which I love because in the first 300 years of church history, this is what really galvanized the Christian church. This is what the people of God said. This is what it means to love God and know God and follow God. This is what we believe. And in the second verse, it has a line, and it says this: true God of true God, light from light eternal. You see, what it's speaking to was the eternality and the deity of Christ. That Jesus is not, he wasn't created by God on that silent night. He's always existed as the second member of the Trinity, right? He's existed with God for eternity. The scripture says he was the one that God used, the creative power that God used to speak everything you know into existence. And in a moment in time, the light from God, all beautiful light, all the light of your Christmas trees, by the way, are shadows of the source, is what this text tells us. You know that, I mean, this is not in the notes. This is what happens when you drive in at 4 a.m. Your marriage was given to you, not for you. It's ultimately about God. And it is a gift from God, a grace from God, that we might understand the love that Christ has for us. Your kids, they're shadows. They're shadows of the perfect love of a father for us. Light on a Christmas tree. Light on a candle we light in our Advent wreaths. It's so beautiful. The beauty of it is a glimpse of the light of eternity that comes from God himself. That's what that text says. True God of true God, light from light eternal. The light that shined brightly in the field that night must have been unbelievably, unspeakably, unmatchedly beautiful. But the real beauty of Christmas, that's what I want you to grab. The real beauty from Christmas, of this story, isn't the light that shined in a field. It comes from considering the ones who saw that light, the ones on which that light shone, the ones that light met. That's where the real beauty of the story is. It's the shepherds. Let me tell you why. See, the fact that the Christmas story starts here is mind-blowing. Nobody would have wrote it this way. One of the continual evidences and really arguments for the Christian faith and the reliability of the Bible is that no man would write the story. Like when you think about the resurrection, the fact that it starts with women at a tomb, no man would have wrote that in that day. Why? Because their voice, their perspective was not respected. And so the fact that God says, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to announce the resurrection of my son through the lips of women. In that day was countercultural. And the fact that God came into the world in a very similar way, God announced the birth, the advent of Christ after 400 years of silence to shepherds is mind-blowing. It is in this day, shepherds were looked at like Cousin Eddie. Like, they were marginalized. They were a marginalized bunch. They were pressed out into the fringes of society. And many early Jewish writings say they were actually viewed as ceremonially unclean. So it wasn't just that they were, like, weird. It's that if you touched them, you couldn't worship. You tracking? So it was like they were dirty. They were pressed out. They were outside of your social circle. Beyond that, they weren't the most impressive folks in society. They weren't highly skilled. They didn't come for prestige or influence. And their resumes wouldn't have stood out of a stack. It wouldn't. But here's the point. That it's to common and regular people that God decided to announce the greatest news of all time. Not to high priests who were moral and upright. Not to kings who were noble and powerful. Who do you announce it to? Common, regular people. And what did he say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. You know, the Christmas story is the greatest news of all time. Don't miss this. Because it reminds us that good news isn't for good people, it's for all people. You see, the Christmas story is so beautiful. It's so great because it's not good news for good people. It's good news of great joy for all people. People like you. Like me. Regular, common people. Those overlooked, those undeserving, those unimpressive. Those who struggle and are in need of saving. Those who are wandering and are in need of direction. Those who are weak, those who are weary and in need of grace. People like you and people like me. That's what makes Christmas so beautiful. That there was good news of great joy, not announced to the best people, all people. See, good news in this text is a verbal form of the word gospel. And so what you need to see here is that the first time the gospel was preached in the New Testament was to shepherds. Think about that. The last time these words were preached was from God's own lips in the Garden of Eden. That I'm going to send one who's going to, yes, his heel is going to be bruised, but the head of the enemy is going to be crushed. And so he speaks this promise again to these, it really announces this promise that has been delivered at the advent of Christ to shepherds. It's mind-blowing. Outside of Mary, Joseph, and her cousin Elizabeth, the shepherds were the first to know about the coming of Christ for the salvation of sinners. And here's what's so beautiful about that. That news doesn't just create excitement, and it absolutely should, right? It should create incredible excitement for us at Christmas that everything in our lives can hit the fan. And the reality is that God has still sent his son, that for those who believe upon him, who place faith in him, who turn from their sin and look to him as Lord and bow before him as Lord, that we can be saved and ransomed from our sin that stood against us. Man, that's good news today. That's good news of great joy today. But it doesn't just create excitement, listen to me, it creates urgency. The greatest news has a great need. That's what I want to show you secondly, the greatest need. Verse 13 through 17 says this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened. We're going to talk about the significance of Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. You know, I want to make sure you come back for that. It says, which the Lord, you like that little infomercial? Which the Lord has made known to us, and they went with haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Now, that night, the shepherd's watch was completely interrupted by a birth announcement and a blast of light out in the field. Then suddenly this choir of angels appears and a worship service breaks out in the field in Bethlehem. And then it stopped. Service ended. The light went out. And here are these shepherds whom no one socializes with, who know they're standing in culture, who know they're standing in society, unimpressive, ragtag bunch. Light goes out. What do? What happens? They look at each other and they say, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. See, this is what the gospel does to us. This is what the greatest news does for God's people who receive it. Every day of our lives, we are floored by the reality that this news has met us. Regular people, common people, undeserving people. And what it should do in us is what it did in them. Every morning we get up and we say, let us go see this thing. Let me go open my Bible and see his face again. Let me come to church and hear of him again. Let me get with a group and let's talk about him again. Every day of our lives we wake up and we drag ourselves again and again to this story, to that manger, to his face. Because the news creates great excitement in us. Listen, that's what going to church is, guys. You're not checking a box or doing this so you please Matt. The heart behind true commitment to church is that we are floored at the reality of the news that we've heard, and I want to get up and go see his face again. I want to get up and go over to see this thing that has happened. I want to hear it. I want to hear it preached. I want to hear it sung. I want to be encouraged by some groups that I'm in with the Bible open. Like, this is what's happening. What the gospel does for those who truly believe is it continues to amaze us. It continues to leave us in awe. It holds us in. That's what it did to the shepherds that night. And listen, they're going over to see the baby that was born. And yes, we can't actually literally go do that, but the principle's still here for us. There's still a message for us in this. That, man, are you still amazed at the greatest news that's ever been told? Are you still amazed at Christmas, or has it become rote and routine in your life? So rote and routine that it's lost on you. So lost on you that you can spend seasons, long stretches and spans of your life apart from the body of Christ. So lost on you that you don't wake up in the morning floored at the grace of God that you were common. Man, look at me. You are great, but you don't deserve this. You don't deserve Christ, the Son who came. He was born, but listen to me. He was born to die. That's what makes Christmas beautiful. And so they say, let's go see this baby. Let's go see this thing. It's been told to us, been made known to us. But then there's this progression. And how'd they do it? They went with haste, it says. See, I told you, there's a speed to this season. There's an urgency to this season. There's an intensity to Christmas that's really always been there. The same rush that you feel to like secure the bags underneath your tree and the same rush you feel to get all the last minute plans wrapped up, like that same rush of excitement, it's here in the story. It's just directed differently. It's aimed differently. It wasn't because of shopping. It's because of a group of shepherds who were so amazed by great news that they had to go and see it, and they left glorifying God. Let me say it to you this way. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. True adoration should lead us to urgent proclamation. True adoration. True adoration of the season should lead us to urgently tell someone about it. That's what your kids are going to do on Christmas morning, right? They're going to open gifts, and they're going to have to tell somebody about it. They're going to rub it in their brother's face or sister's face, or they're going to have to call their friends. Or the best thing is when they get new shoes on Christmas, on the next, they got to let somebody know. They got to call grandma. They got to call their aunts and uncles and tell them, like, look what happened. Why? Because they're excited about it. I promise y'all, you would have got some calls. I'd have let you know. I'd have been in Big Orange this morning if we'd have pulled it off last night. Here's the thing. True adoration should lead to urgent. I love that word. Not haste, urgent. The greatest need that Christmas should remind us about is that there is good news of great joy for all people. Listen, there is good news of great joy for all people, and there are people who have not heard it. There is good news of great joy. Why is it great joy? Because there are sinners who can be made right with a holy God, and it is not based on their performance. It is based on the work of Christ on the cross. And that joy deserves to be heard by all people. And how is God doing this? He's using common people like shepherds in a field to go and tell them. It's a great need. It's the greatest need in our world. If we really believe that the Savior of the world has come, is this story only good enough for a carol? Like, if we really believe that Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven to be wrapped in flesh, to live a life we could not live and go die a death we deserve to die, to accomplish what we could never accomplish, so that by faith in him alone, we can be made right with God and have eternity spent with him forever. Is that only good enough for your built-in? If we really believe the war cry of God in the manger was the answered promise of the war cry of God in the garden, then like shepherds, we have to, with the same zeal and speed of this season that we see in the parking lots of Target and Best Buy, we have to go tell someone now. We have to go urgently. You see, Christmas is not just about remembering what Christ has done. It's joining him in what he's doing. It's joining Christ in what he's doing. And what is he doing? He's sending shepherds to go announce the greatest news for the sake of the greatest need. So who are you telling? Who are you telling? Our band's going to come in a moment, and they begin to lead us to sing a song I love. Our entire Christmas was packaged around this song a couple years ago called Go Tell It on the Mountain. And again, if you don't know the song, it's an old African spiritual that was written in the hills somewhere around here in Tennessee. Its exact roots are unknown, but it's written here locally. And the whole message is this message. That this news, this is the greatest news of all time, has a great need, and that is to go and tell someone. But I'd be remiss to say this, if I don't say this. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, then the greatest need in your life is to come see the baby and to bow before him. Is to see Christ for who he is, not to worry about cleaning yourself up, but as common and regular people, bow before him and experience his grace of salvation by faith and faith alone. If you want to know what that looks like, I'd love to talk to you about that. And we have an opportunity this week, church. We have Christmas Eve coming in just a few days. On Tuesday night, we're going to gather right here, and we're going to proclaim the gospel, the message of the incarnation. And we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to take communion, which is another gospel reflector. And so if you have friends who don't know Jesus, if you have family who don't know Jesus, you got Cousin Eddie rolling into town in an RV, like, bring him. Bring him. Bring them. Tell them. And let's trust the Lord with the results. Let me pray for us. Father, I love you. God, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I'm thankful for this message of Christmas. God, thank you that you have given us the greatest news ever told. Yes, you announced it to shepherds, God, but you've entrusted it with common and regular people in this room. And God, I pray that we would steward it with great zeal and with greater urgency. we would tell someone in our lives about this news, that light from light, true God from true God, has come. And he did come. And he died. And he was resurrected in power and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and that all who call upon his name might be saved. So Jesus, I pray, if there's someone in this room that doesn't know you, hasn't called upon you in faith, God, if there's someone here who's never looked upon your son like those shepherds looked on that manger that day, Lord, they would call on you in faith. And that the rest of us will leave here pondering in our hearts these amazing truths and glorifying God for the beauty of this story. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray.